This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world, this dunya, He did not create this dunya as a place of permanence. Rather, He created it subhanahu wa ta'ala as a place of bitterness and hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed from the day He created our father Adam that servants would alternate between states. State of good health and a state of illness. Between the states of wealth and the states of poverty. Between union and between separation. Between joy and between sadness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided His servants would vary between these states. And He decided who would be given wealth and health and who would be afflicted with poverty and with illness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْطَارُ. Indeed, your Lord creates that which He wills and He chooses. And so it is in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who does not lose the reward of those who show beauty, who does not lose the reward of those who are patient during difficulty, that He chose that some people would face hardships in their bodies, in their minds, and some people would have children that would be living with disabilities. And however these disabilities occur, or however they present themselves, whether they are disabilities in the body or in the mind, whether a person is born with these disabilities or whether it is due to a tragedy that they have suffered in their life, or whether they're born with syndromes like autism or Down syndrome, however these disabilities occur, if a person expects the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed they will be of those who have been given a tremendous reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, يَوَدُّ أَهْلُ الْعَافِيَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حِينَ يُعْطَى أَهْلُ الْبَلَاءَ الثَّوَابِ. He said, on the day of judgment, when the people who have are the people of trials, when the people of difficulty on the day of judgment are brought, the people who suffered, when they are brought on the day of judgment, because they had difficulties in their lives, hardships, barriers in their lives, when those people, Ahlul Bala, are brought on the day of judgment, and Allah begins to give them the reward, Ahlul Afiyah, those who were in good health, those who were unharmed largely in this world, they will wish that when they were alive in the dunya, that they had suffered the most. In this world, while we live in this existence, everybody who has a perspective or a viewpoint that is grounded in the dunya, in this world, that all we see or think about or desire is this world, all we think when we see people who have gone through hardship is we feel pity towards them. And we think like we have it better than them. On the day of judgment, the roles will be reversed. The people who lived in complete health and sound lives are going to wish they suffered in this world. Why? Because they see the reward of patience through hardship that is given to those who suffered in this world. Meaning when they witness what Allah has prepared for people who have undergone tremendous hardship in this dunya, from being blind, from being mute, or other hardships that people face in this world, they would wish that they could share in those blessings on that day by having had a difficult life in this world. And this is a very difficult perspective grounded in our faith. Why? Because civilizations in the past, whether we want to talk about the ancient Greek, they would consider those with disability to be unsuitable for life. And often they would just kill them. The Romans in the past, they saw disabilities were a source of entertainment. People with disabilities were a source of entertainment for them, for the wealthy. They would bring them to their coliseums and make fun of them. But Islam rejected this type of degradation for people who have physical and mental disabilities. For this reason, not once in the Quran, and it's quite interesting, did Allah compare the perfection of someone's body to the perfection of their soul. In fact, we see the opposite. When Allah is criticizing the hypocrites in the Quran, what does He say about them? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبْكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. If you were to see them, their external appearance would be pleasant to you. You would look at them, they're healthy, they're strong, they look like they're wealthy. Everything about them is something that is attractive to the person. You look at them and they have a pleasing external appearance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions about them all of their negatives and says, قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. May God curse them, how deluded are they? And so Islam looks at the disabilities that a person might have been tested with in this world, not as an inherent problem in that person. Allah gives you two archetypes, by the way, in the Quran as well. He gives you the archetype of Fir'aun, who is the king, who is in power, and Musa, his opponent, who is whom? A man who is suffering a stutter, who can't speak properly. Fir'aun says to the people, are you going to abandon me and follow this guy who you can't even understand the words that he's saying? Yet who was greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It was Musa alayhi salam. So Islam does not look at the disability that a person is tested with in this world, except as being a door that leads that person to the mercy of Allah. A door that leads them to good and to reward. A woman once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, inni usra'u wa atakashaf. She said, O Messenger of Allah, I suffer, I am afflicted with seizures. This is a disability that she is living with. Seizures that would violate, that she would have in her life. And I become uncovered, meaning these seizures are so intense that she suffers, her body is shaking, that her clothing becomes teared, and sometimes parts of her body becomes uncovered. So what does she want from the Prophet? She said, Ya Rasulullah, فَدُعُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَشْفِيَنِي. O Messenger of Allah, make dua that I am cured. Make dua that Allah heals me. And the Prophet ﷺ said to her, قَالَ إِنْ شِئْتِ دَعُوتُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَشْفِيَكِ. He said, if you want, I will make dua for Allah to heal you. وَإِنْ شِئْتِ, but if you want, وَإِنْ شِئْتِ صَبَرْتِ, if you want, you will be patient. Now imagine this. Someone is suffering a disability in their life. Someone is suffering seizures in their life. Because of this, they're suffering. Their father, their mother, her husband, her children, all of them are suffering with her because of this illness. And she goes to the Prophet and says, make dua that Allah heals me. And the Prophet ﷺ says, if you want, I can make dua and Allah will heal you. But if you want, you can be patient. Now someone might say, if you have the power to make dua and that person will be healed, why are you even giving them another option? Why are you even giving her the option of patience? Why don't you just make the dua and have her healed right there on the spot? Why are you even asking her the question to begin with? But the Prophet ﷺ says, but if you are patient, وَإِنْ شِئْتِ صَبَرْتِ وَلَكِ الْجَنَّةِ. But if you are patient, you will have paradise. Now this is something that if you really think about it, if all you've cared about is the dunya, you might think the Prophet is being callous. Why are you not making dua that Allah heals her? But if your viewpoint, if your perspective is not just dunya, but it's dunya and akhirah, like the perspective of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he looks at her disability not necessarily as being an evil thing. Because if she's patient with the disability, she will be guaranteed Jannah. How is that a bad thing? Is it better to be healthy? 100%, no barriers, nothing holding you back. And that leads you into arrogance, that leads you into sins, that leads you into forgetting those who are unfortunate. Or is it better to have a disability like you have seizures in your life, but you're patient with it? You remember Allah, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make dua, you do dhikr of Allah throughout your life. And because of that patience, you enter Jannah. Which one's better? It depends on what your viewpoint is. And if your viewpoint incorporates the akhirah, as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's viewpoint was, then it's not necessarily evil that a person has disabilities. So he tells her, if you are patient, you will have Jannah. And so she thinks about these two options. She evaluates one offer and the other. the offer of being relieved of her illness, and the offer of entering into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, قالت, بل أصبر, I will be patient. Rather, I will be patient. ولي الجنة, and I will have Jannah. I will rather be patient and have Jannah. But then she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ولكن ادعو الله لي ألا أتكشف. But make dua to Allah that my body does not become exposed when I have these seizures. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam agreed, and he made dua for her. And so after that, they said she would have seizures, but her body would not be exposed. It would not be so intense that her body would become exposed. And every time Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, even after the Prophet passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas sometimes would see this woman walking the street. And he would tell his students, do you see that woman? They said, yes. He said, that is a woman of the women of paradise. That woman is of the women of paradise. This is the honor and dignity that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions and the early Muslims understood that those who were afflicted with these types of disabilities deserved. That Allah prepared for them a high status when they were patient during their hardships and their disabilities. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every time he would pass by one of the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Maktum, he was a blind man. When the Prophet would see him, he would say, مرحباً بمن عاتبني فيه ربي. He would say, welcome to the person whom because of you, Allah criticized me. SubhanAllah. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the most beloved of all the creation to Allah azza wa jal, Allah criticized the Prophet. Why did he criticize him? The famous story where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with some of the chiefs of Quraysh, and he is giving them da'wah, and he's calling them to Islam, and he feels like they might, you know, really be seriously considering becoming Muslim. And Abdullah ibn Maktum walks up to him, and of course he's a blind man. He doesn't see what the Prophet is doing or who he is sitting with. And he asks the Prophet, is it time for prayer? Has the time of prayer begun? Has the time of Salat al-Asr happened? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ignores him because he feels like he's dealing with something more important. If these people of Quraysh, if they accept Islam, the whole city will become Muslim. He thinks this is a big deal. I need to prioritize my time with them. So the Prophet ignores him, frowns and turns away from him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses in the Quran, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. He frowned and he turned away because the blind man came to him. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَكَّى. Allah says, but what made you think that maybe he will be purified? Maybe these people of Quraysh are not going to be purified, but maybe this blind man will be purified. أَوْ يَذَكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعُهُ الذِّكْرَى. Or he will be reminded and that remembrance will benefit him. أَمَّا مَنْ اسْتَغْنَى. As for those who think of themselves without need to give them their attention, and yet it is not upon you that they are purified. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses reminding the Prophet, admonishing him for preferring to speak to the strong and the powerful over speaking to the poor, old, blind man. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that sometimes we might overlook or belittle the abilities and the contributions of those with disabilities, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values their abilities and values their striving towards purification and striving towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this, Allah azza wa jal showed us incredible ihsan, excellence towards Ibn Maktum, reminding us of our obligations in relation to people who are living with disabilities, that we have to treat them with a sense of excellence and beauty and ihsan. And so if we are obliged, if we see someone with a disability, they're unable to move their hands, or someone who has children and dealing with these types of disabilities, we have an obligation to treat them with excellence as the Prophet, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet to treat Ibn Maktum with excellence. وَاحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Show them excellence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who act with excellence. And so we need to show them excellence by helping, by being gentle, by lending a helping hand. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala abwab al-khayr. O Messenger of Allah, inform me about the doors of doing good. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "An tu'inu sani'an." It's a lengthy hadith. He mentions a number of points, but he says that you help a laborer. Someone is doing a laborious job. He's painting. He's constructing. You give them some help. أو تصنع لأخرق, or that you are working for someone who is mentally challenged, right? That you help people who are unable to help themselves in certain areas of their life. That you're there. That you support them. That you help them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted this amongst the greatest ways of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimuna kal-jasad al-wahid." Muslims are like one body. If one part of the body is suffering, the whole body should be suffering with a fever and suffering with a hardship. And so it's not conceivable for a true believer to see that he has brothers and sisters afflicted with disabilities and we turn away from them and we abandon them. Or he sees his brother struggling with his own children, that some of them might have disabilities, struggling. You see them struggling to put their child in their car, or struggling to bring their child to the masjid, and we're not offering any support or any help. And indeed, this is not part of our history. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, one of the early khulafa, he sent to each of his governors that they need to hire people to be in the aid of those who live with disabilities. To hire people, pay them wages, what we call today social workers, is found in our history. And Abdul Malik ibn Marwan once wrote to his governors, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz as well, he wrote to his governors and said to them, "What are you giving in stipend and money and support to those who are suffering with disabilities?" And they said, "We're giving them zakat and that's it." And so Umar ibn Abdul Aziz responded back to them with something very powerful. He said to him, "Hab annaka wahidun minhum." Imagine that you are one of them. How would you want to be treated? And that is an incredibly important phrase that we should think about. Whenever you're dealing with anybody in society, imagine you are one of them. How would you want to be treated? And treat them in that way. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something very powerful about him, when he would meet people, if he went to another tribe, another society, another city, you know, who was coming to meet the Prophet? The Prophet's an important person. Who would come to meet him? The chiefs, the wealthy people, the important people, the people of influence would come to meet the Prophet. You know what the Prophet would say? "Bring me the weak amongst you. Bring me the ones who are poor. Bring me the ones who are suffering. Bring me the ones who are going through hardship." Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ understood the true measure of a society is not how rich the richest person is. It's how much they take care of people who require help and support. And so the Prophet said, "Innama turzaquna wa tunsaruna bidu'afa'ikum." You only receive rizq from Allah, and you only receive the help and the support and the victory of Allah by your aid of those who are weaker amongst you, those who require more help and more support. And no doubt this is a massive responsibility in our community. To the parents who are out there who are dealing with this, they should know that they should be expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hopeful for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they should realize that this test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them is really a door of good that Allah has presented for them. And their first obligation as parents, but for all of us as a community, is to not abandon the responsibilities that Allah has given us. And so it's impermissible for us to turn our backs on those with disabilities. For a father, for a mother not to recognize the obligation upon them. You know, the father sometimes leaves the mother doing all the work, dealing entirely with her child. We need to realize this is a responsibility Allah has given us. We have to all stand up to dealing with this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us tremendous reward through this door. That child might be your key to entering Jannah. They might be the reason you enter Jannah. And all of us as a community have to realize that. That people who are in our community that have barriers that they have to overcome, that's a door for you to enter Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman." Those who are merciful will be shown mercy by the most merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we are partners in building people. We are partners in strengthening each other's abilities. When we see someone who is afflicted with disabilities, whether that disability is in their body or in their learning ability, It's our job to build them up, to strengthen them. It's not our job to close doors on them, to tell them they're incapable. Islam did not treat those who live with disabilities as though they are useless. We do that a lot. You're not allowed in here. This program is not for you. This event is not for you. That's not how Islam treated people with disabilities. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ, for instance, when he would leave Medina, he would put Ibn Maktum as the mayor of the city, in charge of if there's a problem, if there's a conflict, he would be the one to deal with it. He was blind. Maybe he couldn't be a soldier in the army because he was blind, but you know what he could do? There was nothing stopping him from being a mayor, from being in charge, from answering questions, making decisions. The Prophet empowered him in what he was capable of doing. The Prophet didn't close the door, say, sorry, you have a disability, you are now useless, the way that sometimes our community does. No, he might have a disability, there might be certain things he can't do, but that doesn't mean that everything he can't do. There are certain things he can do. Look at Amr ibn Jamuh, who was a man who had a disability, couldn't walk properly, but he demanded to be on the battlefield. He demanded to fight. And he said, I wish I will enter Jannah with this limp of mine. And he fought, and he was killed. And he fought valiantly. Look at Ata ibn Abi Rabah, who was one of the early scholars of Islam, and a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. And he was born a slave. Now, we want to talk about barriers. He was born a slave. He had black skin. He was blind in one eye, and he had a limp. He couldn't walk properly. And then his slave owner released him. Because imagine, you can't walk properly, you can't see properly. What kind of labor could he do? He couldn't build anything. He couldn't. So his owner set him free, because the owner didn't want to pay for his food and his housing. So the owner just let him free. He felt despair. What am I going to do now? How am I going to eat? How am I going to live? And he went crying to his mother. And his mother said to him, do you want izzat dunya wal akhirah? Do you want all of the honor of this world and the next world? He said, of course. His mother said, go and seek knowledge. Like, yeah, you can't do labor jobs. Yeah, you have trouble seeing and trouble moving. But you have a mind that thinks, that understands. Go gain knowledge. So he was a homeless man. And he went and he lived in Masjid al-Haram. Homeless. For 30 years, they said he lived in the masjid. But he wasn't doing nothing. He was listening to the scholars there. He was learning from them. Every time there was a gathering of knowledge, he would go and sit and listen and learn and understand. Ultimately, he became so knowledgeable, he was considered the Mufti of Mecca. Abdullah ibn Umar, who was a companion of the Prophet, one day he came to visit Mecca, everybody came around him asking him questions. He said, why are you asking me? You have Ata who lives here already, go ask him. It was a great endorsement. A companion of the Prophet, the son of Umar ibn Khattab, says, go learn from this man. And he was so influential, people would line up to ask him questions. One day the Khalifa, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who is the Khalifa, the king, he comes to ask him a question, ask Ata a question. And he cuts the line, comes to the beginning of the line to ask, and he thinks he can do whatever he wants, he's the king. Ata tells him, no, go to the back of the line. And he forces him to go to the back of the line. And Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, he turns to his kids who are with him. He says, I'm a king. This guy is, you know, a freed slave, and he's, you know, blind, and he can't move, and he's the one who is ordering me to do stuff. So he tells his kids what? He tells them, look, Allah gave him more honor than me right now in this situation because he has more knowledge than me. I need him to answer my question. He doesn't need me for anything, right? And so he told his kids, this is the reality. Knowledge will give you honor over all the people. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Alhamdulillah, today's khutbah was about disabilities because this day, I believe, or this week is the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. And there's a couple of really great organizations in our community. One of them is Smile Canada, which deals with children with disabilities and supports them. And another one is Dean Support Services, who arranged this khutbah campaign. That a lot of khutbahs today in the city are going to be about this topic. And that's an organization also that helps and supports persons with disabilities. You know, we should realize that, you know, people with disabilities are part of our community. Sometimes we make it more difficult for them to be included in our events, included in our masajid, included in all the things that we do. And I take responsibility myself, because sometimes, you know, I haven't done maybe everything that I can to make it easier for people with disabilities. And this is an important reminder for all of us that they are part of our community. They have haq over us. They have rights over us. They could complain to Allah about our treatment to them. And it's important for us to try to help them, to try to support them, support these organizations, try to make sure that our communities are more inclusive to them as well. People your age, you should be trying to make friends with people who have disabilities, who are your similar age, because they want friendship too. They're human beings. They want social, you know, a social network as well. And so that's something that you should, you know, realize that this is something, a power that you have, that you can offer people, inshallah, as well. And so all of us need to take stock of our own actions, take stock of who we include in our lives and who we don't include in our lives, and try to do the best that we can to include everyone in our community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aid us and help us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of supporting each other. Inna Allahu malaikata yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin ma dhakarahu dhakirun al-abrar wa salli alayhi rabbana ma tadawwa'a miskum wafah. Salli alayhi ربنا صلاة وسلاما دائمين إلى يوم الدين، وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى أمهات المؤمنين، وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، وجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عبد الله قم الصلاة.